Good morning, church. God is good, and all the time, God is. He is. He is so good. My name is Timothy. If we haven't met, I'm one of the pastors here at the Pier, and as Nick was saying, we are in week 4 of our Sabbath series, and so we've been wondering together as a church and individually, what does it look like in 2019 to slow down, to change our pace, and to find a new rhythm of rest, which in today's culture is extremely easy, right? No, not at all. And so we thought this would be so good to talk about. And so week 1, Nick opened, he talked about emptying ourselves, this idea of integrating silence and contemplation into our weekly rhythms. Last week, Heather spoke, and she talked about filling ourselves up, that through meditation and through memorization, when we spend time in God's Word, that actually, it propels us into His presence, but 2, it actually pushes us into a posture of rest where our soul is at rest and we're just with Him, with Jesus, sitting at His feet. And so she challenged us with memorization, which is an archaic art, but memorizing passages in the Bible. And so I think she suggested going into the wisdom literature, Psalms and Proverbs, and just beginning to memorize. Maybe it's just a verse or a phrase or even sometimes a whole chapter. And so that was her challenge to us. This morning, we're going to be shifting gears a little bit. And we're going to be talking about Sabbath as a communal practice, not something that we just do in isolation by ourselves, but something that we come together in community and practice together. And so before we jump right in, let's watch this video quick on the screen, and then we'll go after it. So this group goes to the movies, or they watch TV, because this is, if you've been to a movie recently, they are playing this before. I went to see Spider-Man, and then I also went to see one other, and they played it both times. And so this was a few weeks back, and I'm sitting in the movie theater, and I'm watching that for the first time, and I literally think that I'm watching, like, in that setting, it felt like I was watching some trailer or some preview for, like, an upcoming summer blockbuster, and then I realize right there at the end that it's just, like, a media campaign for President's Choice food. And so this video is the third one. I think they've been doing this. They've done like a video a year for 3 years. And it's brilliant on a couple different levels. It's brilliant not only because it's Alan Watts speaking in the background. It's not only brilliant because of the beautiful cinematography and just the composition and how they put it together or the soundtrack in the background. It's brilliant because we live in a world where slowing down has become a forgotten practice. It's just a lost art, and eating together is something that we don't do for the typical family. Eating together is something that we don't practice as regularly as we probably should. And so I seen this clip, and I went home, and I love statistics, and so I was really curious how often people eat together. And so if you don't like statistics, just bear with me for a quick second. If we compare how often families ate together like 20 years ago in comparison when how often families eat together today, the difference is crazy. And so I'm looking at these statistics, and the statistics go beyond that. We're talking about more than just eating together, but really just as family and as friends spending quality time together. And so in a recent survey of over 2,000 parents with school-aged kids in the country, research found that on average, families get a mere 37 minutes a day to spend as a family. That's what the polls are saying. That's what the statistics, that on average, families all together only spend 37 minutes per day. And sometimes meals together should last longer than that. Out of the majority of people who were polled, couples said that on average, they get less than 12 date nights per year. And so maybe that resonates with some of us in that room or in this room. What's crazy that beyond that, out of those 12 date nights. This is 2,000 people that were polled, and the vast majority of couples, out of those 12 date nights, like a third of them were either doing domestic chores or going grocery shopping. But that's what was considered as date night in 2019. And so just as a tip for you guys, going to the grocery store with your wife does not count as quality time. It does not count as a date night. But being in a culture of rush, we know this. Spending quality time with each other is getting harder and harder and harder and harder. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at Sabbath rest, not as something that we do in isolation, as Nick was saying, something that we do by ourselves to retract and just become a hermit for 24 hours. That's not what Jesus had in mind, but instead, it's something that we practice intentionally together. And so let's pray, and then we'll dive right in. Jesus, thank you for those 3 minutes this morning. God, thank you for how you use them to refresh us and renew us and pull us and draw us deeper into your presence. God, I pray your anointing on this room this morning, that whoever needs rest would leave this place feeling rested. God, for those who need hope right now, or for that person who just needs your peace in that situation, God, would you give it to them, and would you just fill us up with this whole morning, this whole day, just be a day that we set aside for you to be in your presence. God, we love you. We want to honor you with our words and thoughts this morning. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to look at two truths this morning as related to Sabbath rest. And so the first truth is this: Sabbath is an opportunity for authentic community. Sabbath is an opportunity for us, every person in this room, to move towards real, genuine, authentic community. Or you could say the result of living out Sabbath, practicing this as a discipline together, it creates authentic community. That when we do this, it creates authentic community. And so if you have your Bibles with you this morning, you can turn them on or turn them to the book of Acts. And so we're in the New Testament this morning. It starts Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And of course, we know that those books show us the life and the ministry of Jesus. The book of Acts comes right after them. And so in the beginning of Acts, Jesus ascends to heaven, and he sends his Holy Spirit to be with, to go with and empower his people to spread the good news of the gospel. And so that's where we are this morning. This is going to be up on the screen as well. Acts chapter 2, and we're starting at verse 43 and going to verse 47. And so it says this: everyone around was in awe. All those wonders and signs done through the apostles, and all the believers lived in wonderful harmony or unity, holding everything in common. They sold whatever they owned and pooled their resources so that each person's need was met. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home, every meal a celebration. Exuberant and joyful as they praised God, people in general liked what they saw. And so I imagine the food was good. And it says, every day their number grew as God added those who were saved. This is the early church. These are our beginnings. And so this is a perfect model for a Sunday. After they finished worshiping in the Brockville Arts Center, they would go and hashtag eat together. That's what they would do. And this wasn't just a once-a-day thing. They would do this all of the time, every day. And it says that every meal was counted as a celebration. And so it was a party, it was joyful, it was exuberant. They would literally invite friends and family and relatives and neighbors, and literally they would just gather everyone together and they would come and share in a meal with each other. And so the text says it was joyful. Does that sound like something that you want to be a part of? That I love food and I love coming together in community. And so to do that every day, wow, what a challenge. And so we keep reading, going a little further to chapter 13 in Acts, verse 42 to 44. When the service was over, Paul and Barnabas were invited back to preach again the next Sabbath. As the meeting broke up, a good many Jews and converts to Judaism went along with Paul and Barnabas, who urged them in long conversations. So I'm imagining it was like coming here on a Sunday and listening to Don Heron preach. Long, long conversations. And so the text goes on. It says to stick with what they'd started, this living in and with the grace of God, living in and by God's grace. When the next Sabbath came around, practically the whole city showed up, and they showed up to hear the word of God. Imagine that, the whole city of Brockville coming together in celebration to praise God, to be in his word, and just to celebrate together. Wouldn't that be crazy? Acts is a crazy book. It really is. One of the first things you notice in these passages is that Sabbath doesn't always look like isolation. And we're going to say that again and again and again today. Oftentimes in Scripture, it looked like the exact opposite. Sabbath was a time of celebration. It was a time of being with friends and family, eating too much food together, and just being present with one another, slowing down, finding a new rhythm, this new rhythm of rest. And so I think they got this in the first century, that Sabbath rest leads us to authentic community. I found this quote online. I was just getting lost in Google searches, like probably most of us can relate with sometimes. And I found this quote, and it was anonymous, and so I can't cite it, but it's not my own, and it says this: the Sabbath is a day of relational growth. It gives us time to communicate with each other without all of the distractions in life. It gives us time to reflect on the relationships around us, and it's a time to celebrate with the communities that we're a part of. The Sabbath enhances community. It unites us in a common goal, where that goal is making Jesus our agenda, and it brings us closer to each other in a way that no other time period is able to do in the week. The reality is that Sabbath is hard. Taking 24 hours out of your week to just not do anything. And different in that, different from a day off, in that Sabbath is making Jesus your agenda. And so this isn't easy for most of us, but it is so rewarding. And so I wasn't sure if I was going to tell this more this story. It's just a small story, but it's because I am trying to figure out Sabbath. Ever since we started this series, rhythms of rest just aren't ingrained into me naturally, or at least I don't feel like they are. And so slowing down is just hard. I think I intentionally just try to busy myself all of the time. So this was probably a couple weeks ago, and I woke up at 5 a.m. on a Saturday morning, which is far earlier than I would usually get up on that day. And the night before, I had talked to a couple of my friends. Ryan was one of them. Dustin was another. And I said, let's get up tomorrow morning and just go on a nice cold winter hike. And the temperature that next morning was like minus 30. It was one of those mornings. It was so cold. It wasn't like feels like minus 30 with the humidity or with the wind or whatever. It was minus 30. And so we got up in the morning and we went to Jones Creek, which is just across the road from Browns Bay. And for 2 hours, we were outside in the cold. And I left my phone in the car, and I didn't have it with me, and I didn't want any distractions. And I was just with friends, just being present with them, present with myself, present with the environment around me. And I think I had this huge epiphany coming home from that hike. I think Sabbath is the key. Hear me out on this. Sabbath is the key to experiencing community in the way that it was originally intended. Not just how we see community today, maybe through culture or through media or music or any of these things, but Sabbath, true Sabbath, real genuine rest, is the key to experiencing community in the way that it was originally intended. The more I think about this stuff, the more that I see and think and feel and begin to realize that Sabbath isn't just a suggestion. It's not just a good idea if you're bored or if you have some extra time to sort of integrate these rhythms into your weekly schedule, but Sabbath is essential. It's essential for a healthy life. It's essential for a life that's not marked by burnout and fatigue and exhaustion and all of those other things that I know probably the majority of us in this room feel sometimes, because that is culture. That is today in 2019. The norm is to be a workaholic, to just go, 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 go. And so if the first truth this morning about Sabbath is that it's an opportunity for authentic community, then truth number two flows out of that. And that is that we need Sabbath. We need Sabbath more than ever before. The busyness of life, all of the noise, the notifications, the non-stop chaos, really, it's just the busyness of living in the digital age. And so how many of us in this room have a cell phone on us right now? I didn't see any hands not up. Maybe I saw a couple of you on it right at this moment. Not calling anybody out. But I just bought a new one, maybe 2 weeks ago. And so I hate how, even myself, it's always in my back pocket. Most of my jeans have like a little phone imprint in the back pocket, just worn out. And so I know we get this, but the other day, again, this is me just trying to figure out Sabbath rest, just one day a week. The other day I was going out and it was on my Sabbath and I left my phone at home. I don't know how many of us do that intentionally on a regular week, but pulling out of the driveway without my phone in my pocket was the worst thing. And so I'm at a grocery store, and I'm buying some groceries. I'm standing in line for what feels like 15 minutes. And realistically, it probably wasn't. It was probably only like 5 minutes. But it was excruciating. Like, I didn't have my phone to pull out. I wasn't surfing Instagram or going through my Facebook feed. I wasn't checking emails. I wasn't looking at, like, the top 5 Apple News things that you can slide left to find. I wasn't doing any of that. I was literally just standing in line, holding my bin of groceries, and I was bored. Really, I don't remember the last time I was bored. Like, we don't do that anymore. But I remember growing up, being a teenager, not having a cell phone, and I was just bored all of the time. But that's not our paradigm. And so today, if we ever just have a moment where we're standing in the grocery line and we're doing something, we don't have to be bored because we just have these, we pull them out. And I got a text message this morning. I'm checking it right now. And that is just the natural, that's just what happens. That is normal. And I hate that, and I don't like it. And I hate that in myself, I do feel bored, and I feel uncomfortable, and I don't feel that on a regular basis, I have to be present with the people around me and the environment that I'm in. And so the digital age is fascinating. It really is. It's a fascinating time to be alive because it's 24/7, go, go, go. But I don't think that we were created to live 24/7. At least we weren't created to live busy lives 24/7. At best, maybe 24/6, but not 24/7. And so I would argue that we need the Sabbath more than ever before. And here's why. Watch what happens in this passage. Mark chapter 3. We're just looking at the first six verses. It's going to be up on the screen as well. So Mark 3, 1-6 says this. Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." An introvert's favorite thing to hear. Then Jesus asked him, asked them, the people around, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. The text says he looked around at them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." The man stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. And so, did you know this story is one of many that the majority of Jesus' healings takes place on the Sabbath? Really, really interesting. This could be a coincidence that was just the time when all of the people were around and they were in the synagogue. It could be a coincidence. But my guess is that it's not. Why? Because I think the Sabbath is a day for healing. That Jesus does some of his best work on the Sabbath. I think this was true in the first century, and I think it's true today. And so the message is simple. It's so clear. All I'm saying this morning is take a Sabbath and invite someone to be a part of it. Practice Sabbath, and not just on a day off. We kind of touched this already. If you work a five-day work week, then that's good. Have a day off, but take a Sabbath. Whenever works for you, don't get hung up on the time, but just make sure it's 24 hours. This 24-hour time period, block it off, turn off your phone, put all of your stuff away, and just settle in to 24 hours of rest. It's probably going to be, if we're being honest with each other, it's probably going to be uncomfortable. You might not know what to do with all the time, but just make sure you don't do it alone. Isolation in moments of silence and solitude, these are good rhythms. It's good and it's healthy. Nick talked about that week one. But it's not a framework for how Sabbath should and always look. And so invite people to be a part of it. Sabbath should just be a time where you're present with yourself, where you're present with others who are around you. Again, inviting them in, making it a celebration. But it should be a time when we're present with Jesus, present with his presence in the room. And so the truth is that we come to church on a Sunday. We can continue this conversation in the car, on the way home, everything that we're talking about as related to Sabbath. But if we don't say yes to God, if we don't put this stuff into practice, then I would ask, are we really stepping in to what God has for us? Are we stepping in to God's best? Sabbath is beautiful. Sabbath is a celebration. It's a time to just invite people to be a part of your life. It's a time to be intentional with others. It's a time to sit down and share food with each other. It's a time to laugh and play games. It's a time to just relax, but it's a time to make Jesus your agenda. And so take a Sabbath, please. I've never said please in a sermon, but I am trying to figure this out. And I've been having some conversations with you guys, and I believe that God is up to some beautiful stuff in our lives, in this church, but in the lives of those in our city as well. And so the worship team is going to come, and they're going to lead us. But let me end with this. Jesus said in this great line, and here's the thing, Jesus usually wasn't like a sales pitch kind of guy. When we read the conversations of Jesus in the Gospels, he wasn't a sales pitch kind of guy. His angle was more like, you want to follow me? Come and die. I think sometimes Jesus was really in bad need of like a PR guy. And so he wasn't a sales pitch kind of guy, but he has this one really compelling invitation in the Gospels. And it's this one line. There's a couple different variations of it, but I'm thinking about the one in John chapter 10. And it's where he says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And thief is symbolic just for so many things in life today. But then Jesus says, I've come that you may have life and life to the fullest. The writer John rephrases that in one of his letters in the New Testament. And he says, he calls it life that is truly life. Life that is truly life. We go to church, we're decent people, we read our Bibles in the morning or at night, but I wonder if we don't have the life that Jesus has on offer. And I'm sure there's all sorts of reasons for that, all sorts of real reasons why we're so busy in a week. Driving the kids to school, hockey practice, soccer practice, whatever that is, practices, rehearsals, grocery shopping, laundry, tidying the house, trying to just do all of these other things that flow into our schedule. But I wonder if it's robbing us of this offer that Jesus has for us to have life and have it to the fullest. There's this line from a great writer named Walter Brueggemann. And he has this little book on Sabbath, and he writes in it, those who live Sabbath live all 7 days differently. Those who practice Sabbath regularly, they live all 7 days differently. The reality is that when we practice Sabbath with our friends, with our family at home, when we practice Sabbath, it doesn't just change one day in our week. It changes the whole week itself. It changes and it begins to change our entire lives. As you start to live in awareness to and intimacy with the God who made you, as the life of Jesus starts to infiltrate your body and your soul and your mind, that is the life that Jesus has on offer. That is the life that he has for every one of us. Life that is truly life. That we would have life and that we would be able to, with him, live it to the fullest. And so slow down this week, please, for you, for your families, for God, slow down, take a Sabbath, find a new paradigm, a new rhythm of rest. And then just invite somebody to be part of it. Let's stand together and let's continue in this heart of worship.